honestly, why are you with him? One of the greatest mysteries of all time, why the lobster is married to Adam. I have no... Kerrigan, does it make any sense to you? She's smart. She's gorgeous. She's carrying the financial success of the family.
It's a charity effort, right?
Is it a charity thing? I mean, did you get to do this for 10 years and then give up? You know, I don't understand. Round of applause for the lobster who carries the Adam and Jen relationship. Bring me back an adult beverage. That's all I ask for. Hey, it's Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan, Newstalk 830 WCCO. We're here at the fair. I want to thank everybody who was involved yesterday, because yesterday it was a bit of a clown show because it just was pouring out. Absolutely pouring out. And a lot of folks stuck around. Then a lot of folks kind of stormed the gate.
They did.
Because you've got just a little bit of an edge here where you can stay dry. I don't blame a soul for doing that. We had a lot of good guests yesterday. We had a lot of good guests today. But what I loved about yesterday, everybody hung around the whole time, right? Dean Phillips, we talked to Dean from 1 to 1:30. Dean was here till like 3:20.
Rain and free food will do that.
Just hanging out. Gensel was here.
Yep.
How about the combination of Louie and Dara together?
They might be best friends by now.
I mean, they're taking pictures of each other. They're exchanging numbers. So that is an example of what the fair is all about. You maybe bump into somebody you don't know and you have a connection. Or you bump into somebody you've heard of a friend and you strike something up. Now, then here's this guy. He kind of looked over. He gave it a thought. And he waved and he said, you know what I'm here for? The water.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just here for the water.
It's good water.
Yeah, it's good water. He's going to maybe get to check out a few of the pictures. Yeah, you got to find out who I am. I'm Vanita Saucar. I'm right there at the top. We have good guests today. Major Garrett, 12:35. Is this a surprise to me? Is Major here at the State Fair?
No.
Oh.
He will be at an airport, though.
I was hoping all of a sudden Major was going to come out, you know, nearby Chicago, and he was going to be here.
You know, that might be next Friday, and he might be bringing a copy machine with him, which means Major will show up by himself. Because he is the copy machine.
He is the copy machine. Shaletta at 105, are you aware of how mad she is right now?
I already, the kids are over there. I saw Sean.
Oh, there we go. The kids are here. Great to see you guys.
What's she mad about?
There's no picture of Shaletta.
Oh. No, there is. It's right over there by the kids now. She's kind of kicked off to the
Wait a sec. I see that now. She's brought
her own picture
of Blois. Two people who have absolutely, positively nothing in common. Shaletta and Blois. So now we do have bonus pictures, and clearly Shaletta did that somehow, some way. 135, the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Fry, is going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty to discuss with Jacob. 205, the president of the Minnesota Twins, David St. Peter, is going to be here. Who do we have tonight, by the way? I should know. I mean, with the Twin Station, I got the Twins president on. You don't know either. You're looking also feverishly.
Got to double check.
Does anybody know who the Twins are playing tonight?
Yeah, St. Louis.
St. Louis, that's right, because it's sunny gray, and this it's over for me. I just, like, 2 hours ago read this story about Pablo against Sonny, Twins and Cardinals, and now I'm asking everybody, who are they playing? I mean, it was an okay run. I mean, I'm losing right here. And the Am I Wrong committee is here at 2:35. Are they here now? Are they amongst us somewhere?
I do not see committee members here, but they have been on the ground since early this morning. Looking for ways that the fair could be improved, changed. I think that's going to be the major topic of conversation for Am I Wrong?
Well, we got a little bit of early. Can I do a little bit early, or am I doubling up on YouTube?
No, go right ahead. I'm sure the committee will have much better ideas than you do anyway.
The spatial awareness of people at the State Fair is about the worst of all time. It is not possible. Now, here, look at how nice everybody is. They're sitting in their chairs. They're looking at us. They're deciding when they want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this really isn't that entertaining. You know, the bench is good. Are they handing out any more free food? This guy's groping Looks like it's his girlfriend. His wife's over here at Mancini's, and he's groping his girlfriend. That's impressive. That's your that part. But people stop and start out of nowhere. They veer. They swear, wait, we have a beer in front of us now.
Hello.
Oh, my God. This is fantastic.
All of a sudden, Adam Carter doesn't seem so bad, does
he? No, he doesn't seem so bad. I asked for a beer, and the beer's here. Halle Berry. Can I ask to see if Halle Berry potentially shows up?
I think she's got a thing going on today.
She does have a thing going on. People are tremendously terrible at their spatial awareness here at the State Fair. Yes or no?
Yes, except for one instance, which we are seeing right now. This nice U-shape of people on the benches, leaving the one bench unoccupied, the one that's dead center right in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah, come on up here.
Hey!
Sit right. And right now, yeah, listen, it's a personal seat license. It's just $1,000 for Dave and I for every 15 minutes. Venmo, whatever you want. How are we going to improve the spatial awareness issue at this place? Taser?
That's a start. I mean, we had a great idea last year that you poo-pooed.
Lines, right? Didn't you have lines?
No, the pedestrian roundabout.
That's ridiculous.
In every intersection,
it's just so ridiculous.
You have them do the roundabout situation. That way you don't have to fight the people that are going perpendicular to you.
Okay. There's a reasonably good crowd out here. How many of you believe, by a show of hands, you're good at the driving roundabout? Show of hands. How many are good? Look at this. She's trying to raise her hand. Her husband's like, no, you are not good at it. You're not good at it. How many of you are willing to admit you're still a little iffy on the roundabout? Okay. It's a little more confident that they can do it. So you now think a pedestrian roundabout. Here at the State Fair, we've got like 150 to 200,000 people out here. And that's going to work?
I think at the major intersections, first of all, it will help with driving because people will get used to it in a much slower environment. But instead of having to fight the people that are going north-south as you're going east-west, everyone hops in the roundabout. Boom, you're out on the street you want to get out on.
Look at that couple. They had the divide on the roundabout, and then they left.
Very quick.
Very quick. I don't know how that worked out.
It may not have.
It may not have. That might be some dissension right there. I've been there before. You've been there before. Okay. Let's pause. Someone on time. We have a microphone. You could step up to. What can we do to improve the State Fair? If we could guarantee weather like this every day, this is pretty good.
Now that the sun has come out, we'll take this.
Sun has come out. It's in the low to mid 70s. You can wear your shorts. You can wear your ball cap. You can wear your sweatshirt. I know you like to wear a tank top. When is exactly the tank top coming out for Dave Harrigan?
1:30.
1:30. Folks are checking their calendar right now and making sure they're leaving at 1:25. I also have about 9 Advil pills because I felt lousy the last couple days. So nothing better than about 9 potential Advil pills and an adult beverage.
It's fine. It mixes well.
That's the way you get better out here at the State Fair. Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan, the home of the Twins, WCCO Radio. It is 20 minutes past the hour of 12. Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan, News Talk 830 WCCO. I want you to text me or step up to the microphone here at the State Fair. How would you improve the Minnesota State Fair? Because the spatial awareness is nonsense. You're walking along, somebody spots something, they stop, they swerve, they turn right, they turn left, they give you no indication, you're bumping into people, cats and dogs living together. I'll give you a couple other ones. The bathrooms out here are disgusting. Can we all agree the bathrooms out here need to be power washed? There's one hidden good bathroom right by us.
Shh.
Under the giant slide. Under the giant slide is about the only decent bathroom out here. Outside of that, they should provide you a hazmat suit as you walk into the bathroom.
Well, you still got to take it off.
Yeah, I don't know how I get over the hazmat suit. So I, just to be safe, I went to the bathroom at about 11:50 or so. And I walk in the bathroom, and there's a gentleman at the urinal singing away, having just a fantastic time at
singing.
The stage. Yeah, singing away.
Anything we'd recognize?
I did not recognize the song, But you know what? I'm going to say I'm in favor of it.
Okay.
I want more people when I approach the bathroom at the State Fair, when you approach it with some trepidation, mm-hmm. outside of the hidden clean bathroom underneath the giant slide. I think I need somebody else to provide a little entertainment.
That's nice.
Do you think we should have more entertainment at more bathrooms?
Could you? I mean, there's, you know, hundreds, thousands of free shows out here. Do you think you could just call the bathrooms a stage and have somebody show up every hour, provide the tunage for, you know, noon to 1, 1 to 2?
Well, that's fair. That is fair. Is it possible that this gentleman was warming up?
Very possible.
Right?
That could be the next band shell act. You don't know.
Is that really where you're going to debut?
La, 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 la. Okay. You could probably get really good acoustics in there.
Well, it was booming. I'm not going to deny that.
Did you give the fella a tip? At least a pat on the back? Say,
no,
I really enjoyed that?
We were going to exchange a lot of handshakes at that point. I don't know how clean things are at that point.
I think you know how clean things are.
Yeah, they're not.
Very clean.
They're not. So I decided I wasn't going to give them a hearty handshake. Today I saw parking. I've got my secret route to get here. I'm not sharing. For $50, I probably would share. There is a yard, I don't know, 3 blocks from here. They are charging $65 to park in their yard. $65. And by the way, the yard was full. The yard was full. Looked like maybe 6 cars. I mean, wasn't like at your house. We're about to talk to your neighbors. I'm sure you guys all have just these, you know, enormous mansions out there.
We do.
The Barrie. $65. I've never paid $65 for parking for anything in my entire life.
That's almost as bad as a Vikings game at this point. There's homes down, if you go straight down Como here to the east.
Let me put my glasses on.
I've walked by the last 10 years and the same sign is out there. Parking, I think it's $20. College fund. How long are you going to college?
Do the signs help you bring more people to you? If you put some sign, you know, like trying to put my kids through college.
I think so.
You know, obviously there are people who genuinely need it. So for them, I wish them. But if it's a little hyperbolic, if it's a little bit of an exaggeration.
Yeah, I think if you just add it out there, you probably get something. Oh, I'm helping the kid get an education. Sure, I'll throw the $20 there. It'll be fine.
So la-di-da, when the Super Bowl was last year, we did go. La-di-da. I don't think I paid $65 for parking for the Super Bowl. How far are you willing to walk for you to avoid paying $65? A man who prides himself in his frugality.
Oshkosh?
I mean, seriously.
I think Oshkosh to hear I could do. That'd be fine.
How soon would you have to leave for you to make it every day? You just would walk, go back and forth.
I'd probably sleep in one of the bathrooms. I could find a guy to sing a song for me to help me fall asleep.
Way to improve at the State Fair, no women involved. That's from one of our texters. That's not me.
Wow.
That's not me. I'm completely against that. Inflatable sumo suits. Do we need more of those out here? Do we have an inflatable sumo suit area where people are competing against each other?
I can't think of any. But, you know, we could have an area where they just have inflatable, like, bounce houses and stuff like that.
That is true.
You could have a spot for the kids and then some heavy-duty ones for the adults, too.
You have the kids out here today.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They're
making
my wife suffer.
How do you feel about that? That you came out, you're with the kids for, what, about 5 minutes?
Yeah, roughly.
And then you gave Lindsay the kids for the next,
I mean, she knows what she signed
7 hours.
She's got her sister in tow, so they got they got Auntie TT with them, too.
Did I meet Auntie TT before?
She usually comes out.
Yeah, she was out before.
Yeah.
She was highly critical of you, I thought.
Normally is.
Yeah. Like, what's Lindsay doing? All right, now, which neighbor should come up here and talk about what it's like to live by you?
Patrick is giving me the eye right now.
Okay. Patrick, come on up here. Couple of Dave's neighbors have stopped by. What is it like, Patrick? First of all, thank you very much for coming out here. I like the Twins cap. Excellent Twins ball cap.
Thank you.
What is it like living in the shadow of Dave Harrigan?
Of the Harrigan?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, this guy is a legend on the block. And okay. what's really going on okay. is everyone's trying to figure out what's going on with his apple tree. This apple tree.
Really?
It's the saga of the apple tree. It splits. It falls. It tips over. And now it's been chopped down.
But, we've eliminated the apple tree?
Well, it's just a problem tree for Dave. It really is.
These are apples. These are the.
No, they were
beautiful and they're delicious.
I've had
you just cut the tree down.
Yes.
What, to make lawn mowing easier, or what did you do?
Yes.
What kind of yes. environmentalist is this guy? Cutting down, I mean, is the neighborhood revolting against him?
No. I don't think Dave hates trees. I really don't.
Apples?
He doesn't hate apples either. They made lovely applesauce from the apples from that tree.
How long ago was that?
Again, that was probably 5-6 years ago at least.
I never, ever was brought in any applesauce.
Oh, no.
Thanks a lot. I mean, I have feelings. I like applesauce. Was it cinnamon applesauce?
Yes, it was. It was delicious. It was amazing.
And you cut this tree down.
Yes, I did.
What a horrible human being you must be.
So what I want to know, though, there's still kind of a stump. So is it going to carve it into like an eagle or something? Or like what's cooking?
Maybe an outline of me, potentially.
Could be.
So I was in the neighborhood. Dave, what are you doing with this stump?
I'm thinking of actually just carving a statue of myself.
Yes.
Statue of David number 2.
Yes.
The sequel.
Yes. The improved version. Does he cause any? I mean, that's a pretty strong indictment. The way I look at it is, he cut down a healthy apple tree that all the kids in the neighborhood like. That's what I heard.
No, I think this tree was a suicidal apple tree. This tree did not want to live. It really
the apple tree took its life.
No, I mean, this tree continually tried to die right on his lawn. And Dave, to his credit, tried to patch it back together. He trimmed it.
He's a giver.
There were straps involved, and he was trying to heal the tree, and it was a saga of the tree.
Did it succeed?
Evidently, no.
No, I mean, second place doesn't count for the tree. I mean, it didn't work out. All right, what's the best thing you guys have done so far at the fair today?
Well, we've had a couple of beers, and we've walked around. We've seen some really, really cool people to watch. Good stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, really indescribable. I mean, not on the air. Anyway.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, we'll maybe discuss that off air. Patrick, yes, thank you so much.
So happy to join you. Thank you so much.
Apple tree killer Dave Harrigan and Patrick a part of it here. Let's pause. The great Major Garrett is seconds away on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Major is here like all of our guests. He's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. I was hoping, sir, I was going to look to my left, and all of a sudden you're going to surprise me and pop up at the Minnesota State Fair. We have to make that happen one of these years. Before we jump into the conversation, a man just walked by wearing a kilt out here at the State Fair. It's absolutely packed, and he looked great. Dave, did you see the man in the kilt?
I did.
Yeah. Yes, let's guess, Dave Harrigan. Has Major Garrett ever in his life worn a kilt? Dave, you first.
I guess no, but I think there's a bit of regret. I think he wishes he would have at some point worn a kilt.
I'm going to say yes, that he was a part of an event. He's told me many times he's very proud of his legs, thinks he has very attractive legs. And so I'm going to say yes, Major has donned a kilt before.
The answer is no.
Oh, my gosh. What about next time you're filling in for Nora? I mean, you wouldn't give us the copy machine. Would you finish and there's just one last, like, you know, subliminal moment where it's you looking great, one of your suits, but then down below, you're wearing a kilt?
Yeah, Chad, by definition, there's nothing subliminal about a kilt.
I mean, I'm trying. How about if I send you one? I don't know where our kilts are us. I guess I'll track it down. All right, let's jump into the news of the week. The vice president became the presidential nominee. Kamala Harris faced the most important speech of her life. And as I said on the Twitter machine, and you know this so much better than I, politicians and presidential candidates get very few opportunities when you get potentially tens of millions of people watching you. And the vice president had that moment last night. And I'm not suggesting that she won over Republicans, and I'm not suggesting that she won the election last night. But I thought for what she wanted to do, that she delivered an impressive speech and met the moment, and this razor-sharp close race is fully in play. But if you're the vice president and your people close to her, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't be pleased off what happened last night.
I think that's a fair assessment. I will say this. We resort far, far more often than we should in the media to the cliche most important speech of his or her life.
Right.
Especially now in American politics, everything is a continuum. And a great speech can be erased by a fumble or a stumble or something accidental less than 24 hours later. Okay.
All correct.
Things do not last with the kind of nostalgic permanence that we associate with an earlier, less chaotic media environment than we currently live within. However, the speech is a culmination of an effort of 4 days that had a purpose to it and a sense of unity to it and a sense of bottling up a kind of pre-existing enthusiasm and displaying that enthusiasm for 4 days across the national media spectrum. And that's harder to do than it sounds, especially when you've had less than 3 weeks to do it. Okay? Because you can't plan a convention a week out or 2 weeks out or 3 weeks out. The last week before it, everything is basically set. Mm-hmm. Yes, a lot of these things were put together on behalf of President Biden, but not exactly. And to carry off a convention, also to make some pretty hard decisions. One, do you or do you not place a voice in support of Palestinian civilians on the convention stage? Forgive me, I'm in LaGuardia Airport. That's why you hear the overhead.
Yeah.
And ultimately, after lots of back and forth negotiations, the Harris campaign said, no, I'll address it myself. I'm the nominee. I will deal with this issue. Secondarily, and related to this, there was much worry, concern, speculation, and on the Republican side, anticipation that there would be something very destabilizing about protests in the street, mar the convention, mm-hmm. mar the atmosphere, yep. deepen the sense of division. That didn't happen. Accomplishing
not at
those
all.
Things are no small tasks, okay?
Nope.
Conventions are not just about upside, but they're also minimizing downside. And this team, with very little time to prepare for it, accomplished many of those fundamentals. And Harris was the capping event of something that was coursing through all 4 nights, which is this. We have great atmosphere, Democrats. We have great vibe. We have a great sense in this building. But this race isn't won, and we are going to be knocked back on our heels, and we better work and work and work and then work some more because this is tough business.
Let me bring up a couple points that critics, Republicans of the vice president, have offered up on a fairly regular basis off the speech. That the biggest issue in this race is pretty much the biggest issue in every race. It's the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And that Republicans look at the economy and say, it hasn't recovered fast enough. This is on the Biden economics that we were told about over and over again. And now that Joe Biden is out, that the vice president has inherited that. And she did not address that enough last night. And then the age-old debate of when you have a convention speech, how much is broad strokes? How much is the personal story? How much is about the future versus how about some specific policy points? So on the economy itself and the lack of specific policy positions, and prominent Republicans have made that point repeatedly, what do you say to those folks?
So the central question that Kamala Harris had to answer in developing the speech is one that we addressed last week. She didn't address it because we raised it, but I will take some credit. What is she? Is she the incumbent or is she the challenger? She gave a challenger speech last night. I'm the challenger, even though she's the sitting vice president, inheritor of all the administration accomplishments and detriments. She didn't talk about that nearly as much as she did the future and who she is. That's what challengers do. Who am I? Who am I not? How am I going to be caricatured by my opponent? And what you really need to know about me, what you need to know about my central values. Go back and look at Bill Clinton's speech in 1992. The first 7 minutes of Kamala Harris' speech and the first 7 minutes of Bill Clinton's speech in 1992 are almost exactly the same in that they are wrapped around a strong mother, a strong set of values, and a strong sense of orientation to place and future. That's not an accident, okay? These are both introductory speeches rooted in something that is definitional for a challenger, not an incumbent. And when she leaned into economic policy, she didn't lean into inflation except to say, I'm going to do things to combat higher prices. She leaned into housing. And here's an interesting thing that the polling data always shows that people in my world consistently overlook. If you want to talk about an economic issue that transcends geography, party, and class in this country, it is housing. Mm-hmm. It is housing. Yep. What do you pay as a renter? What do you pay as a homeowner? What do you pay as an aspiring homeowner? It is absolutely cross-party, cross-geography, cross-class. And Harris's people have zeroed in on this because they believe there is political potency that is not more important than inflation, but is counter to an inflationary argument she'd rather not have. Leave the inflationary argument to Jerome Powell and the Federal Reserve, okay? Let them wrap themselves around the axle of what is or isn't inflation and what they will do about interest rates. Go straight to housing because she has a very reasonable expectation that interest rates are going to go down and housing might become more affordable. When? In September, October, and November. That might not hurt. So I think that's an interesting approach that they've taken.
Let's do this. You're going to talk to LaGuardia. You're going to get them to stop talking the rest of this thing. I think that's Dave, do you think it's reasonable that Major could talk to someone at LaGuardia?
It's expected.
Yeah, we're expecting Major to go get them to. I mean, there's only one flight going out of LaGuardia right now, right? Just kind of a quiet, just little small town airport, LaGuardia. We'll put Major on hold. We'll come back. We'll talk about what happens next in the race. And how about Bobby Kennedy Jr.? What's going to happen today? The fabulous Major is with us. It's 47 past 12 on CCO. It is 12:51. That is the Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to make your home more energy efficient with GAF Solar Roofing. Let me get to the most important item before we get back into politics with Major. A most sincere, my friend, happy birthday. Tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yep. Not a lot of people realize this. Major sounds good. Fine temper. He is 97 years old. 97, and he's still working.
That's right. I'm 3 years away from my Smucker's anniversary. That's
yes.
Exactly
I mean,
right.
A lot of plastic surgery. You're hoping for the ghost of Willard Scott to wish you happy birthday tomorrow. You know what I think of you, my friend. It is a true pleasure, most importantly, to be your friend. And we absolutely love having you on. So I hope tomorrow is a joyous, joyous day for you.
Thank you very much.
Let's get to Bobby Kennedy. Today, Arizona, he's going to say he's done. Is he definitely saying he's done and throwing in with Donald John Trump?
Who knows? And it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. Remember, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. met with Trump in Milwaukee, and there was a lively set of conversations and an expectation then that they might align. But Trump, for all sorts of proper and logical reasons, felt very much that the race was very winnable, if not already won. The party was unified. He was coming off this enormously traumatic and electrifying and iconic moment, horrible in every respect, but nevertheless, with political value in Butler, Pennsylvania. He didn't need Robert F. Kennedy Jr., so he didn't cut a deal with him. Now the conversations have re-engaged because Trump is not where he was then. He does need some kind of spark, even if it is a minuscule spark in the person and personage of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who brings as much baggage, if not more, than any number of votes. So whatever happens in Arizona, I don't think is as central to the future of this campaign as it is in one respect. Trump needs something that he didn't need in Milwaukee and is making a reach for it now.
So if we expect many of these swing states to be very close, and in a reasonable amount of the polling, Bobby Kennedy Jr. was getting 2-3%, isn't that still helpful? But we just can't quantify how helpful it might be?
Well, the way to think about that is not 2016 and say, oh, look at the amount of votes that Jill Stein got and Gary Johnson got. Those were meaningful, extremely meaningful, but they were meaningful because there was a strategic decision on the part of the Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton not to pay any attention to them and to believe their own polls, believe their own sense of inevitability, not campaign in Wisconsin, not campaign aggressively in Michigan, and therefore Trump wins. None of those assumptions are a part of the Harris-Walz orientation to this campaign at all. Third parties matter. The Democratic National Committee has been hounding and dealing with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. aggressively back when he was at 15 or 17 or sometimes 19% of the polls to describe what he is, address what they regarded as his shortcomings, and make sure that his ballot access was adhering to the rules. And any time it didn't, suing him to block him. Okay, so there is a definite awareness of the potential problem a third-party candidate like Robert F. Kennedy could present. That has identified and, to the Democratic Party's sense of belief, minimized any votes that would otherwise go to Harris to go to Kennedy, point one. Point two, the idea that third-party candidacies of any kind are immaterial is not part of the Harris matrix. And the idea that they have to campaign aggressively across all of the battleground states and do so relentlessly, regardless of what the polls indicate, which was not the Hillary Clinton approach, is also different and strategically important. Doesn't mean they're going to win, but it means they are sensitized to things in ways that Hillary Clinton was utterly blind to or indifferent to.
I got about 90 seconds left. We're 18 days away from the first Harris-Trump debate. Any big benchmarks to watch before we arrive at our second debate of the political season, but one person will not be making an appearance?
It's essentially the first debate. And look, Trump has announced that he's going to have some sort of January 6th awards gala at Bedminster the week before the debate, which completely baffles me. It has only thing to do with base politics and base mobilization. And if Trump is there in early September, that is a terrible sign for the Trump campaign. For Trump to win, especially against an aggressive, organized, and now fully energized Democratic Party, he has got to expand beyond the Trump coalition. And doing anything to celebrate January 6th does not. It just reinforces his base devotion to him. And the key metric between now and the first debate is, does it continue to appear that political gravity has for the first time taken hold of Donald Trump? And he cannot reverse Harris's momentum, and he suddenly looks something like he has never looked in American politics, which is human and fragile and vulnerable. That's the key between now and the first debate.
Is Harris a very slight favorite at this point?
I think she's a slight favorite, and all the polling metrics show that she has rebounded into competitive positions in all the battleground states. Now, North Carolina is unequivocally a battleground state. 6 weeks ago, Republicans said that is done and dusted. We don't even need to spend any money in North Carolina. That is no longer the case. And Florida and Texas have begun to creep into the conversation. Whether Democrats spend any money or there or not, probably not, but they're creeping into the conversation, and those races have implications down ballot. And if I'm Ted Cruz and if I'm Rick Scott, I'm much more worried about my electoral prospects and my reelection prospects than I was 5 weeks ago.
I got to jump in. Travel safe. Have a great birthday. We'll talk next week.
See ya.
Major Garrett, Shaletta, and Jacob Fry next hour on WCCO.